Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. With me in the studio now is Ed Wolverton, President and CEO of Wilmington Downtown, Inc. Welcome once again, Ed.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And also joining us is George Edwards, Executive Director of Historic Wilmington Foundation. Welcome, George.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
We're talking about the growth of the downtown Wilmington area and how that fits in with the Port City's historic tradition. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using coastlinehqr. George Edwards, earlier we were talking about the definition of the downtown area. Are there parts of what we would now call downtown that once upon a time used to be called the suburbs?
That's an interesting question. I don't think there are parts that we would call, well, let's be academic about this. If you talk about the streetcar neighborhoods of Wilmington, those were the suburbs at the turn of the last century. I'm talking about 1900.
And what are the streetcar?
Well, the streetcar neighborhoods is a term that you find frequently in America. As the electrified streetcar became prominent in American cities and came prominent across the country, it afforded people who were used to living in a dense downtown an opportunity to move out. And in Wilmington, the streetcar ran down Princess, turned at 17th Street, and then gradually made its way ultimately all the way out to the beaches. Now, there was also a system here called the beaches cars, but that created a whole development trend all along 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th Street, Market, beyond 17th Street, and we call those the streetcar suburbs today. I would argue, and I heard Ed's definition of downtown, and we all have our own definitions of downtown, I would argue that all of that today is downtown, that I think those residents believe that they are downtown, and that is the continuous core of historic fabric in the city, linking the residential down to the commercial. And Ed's definition about where the commercial core ends is very accurate. I would agree with him on that, that it's basically that CBD, that long...
The Central Business District.
Central Business District, that long linear box that extends all the way up to the Isabel Homes and then runs down beyond, slightly beyond the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge, out to 5th, 6th, 7th. I'd go a little bit further in my definition of Central Business District, but I would agree with that. And so I think, yes, Rachel, if you want to be really technical, there were some suburbs that we've included in our definition today.
So historic preservation is the heart and soul of Historic Wilmington Foundation. And of course, at Wolverton, it's a huge part of economic development in Wilmington. It's a huge part of the landscape here. And you spoke earlier about how different we are from Savannah and Charleston, South Carolina, and even Charlotte. But are there cities that we would like to emulate? Are there cities that have done the historic preservation thing very, very well? Either George or Ed.
Well, I think we've done it very well ourselves. I think we are in that same category as Charleston and Savannah, which are typically Southern American cities that get mentioned for their success in blending historic preservation and economic development. And they've done wonderful jobs. But I would argue that we've done equally as good a job here, that we have the density of resources, that we've used them carefully, that the city embraced historic preservation from a public government perspective more than 50 years ago, and that we've done a very good job of blending public-private initiatives, getting the private sector involved. We've had our churches make a commitment, our neighborhoods, and we're doing it quite well. And I think we have defined ourselves as an economically viable, historic-oriented city, and we use that. Ed uses it, I believe, all the time. WDI incorporated that standard into their original standards when they were organized more than 38 years ago. Is that right?
That's correct, yes. Well, it is a critical economic development capacity for us, and we have to recognize we're stewards of this architecture and these buildings, and they are a great selling point, especially as we think about the tourist economy. People expect that. They want to see that historic charm that we have. And to George's point, we are just as strong as Savannah and Charleston and have done just as good a job as what they've done. We in North Carolina have really been a model across the country about best practices of how to go about economic development. And our state preservation tax credits program have been modeled by other states across the country. And that's been a really important tool for economic development for us and for providing the community identity that we spoke to a little bit earlier.
Well, speaking of those historic tax credits, what is the status right now, George Edwards?
Well, they're in jeopardy. The legislature has been back and forth. Now, the governor came out very strongly back in the spring saying we needed to continue the credits. The House came out with a very good model based on the governor's suggestions. But the Senate hasn't been as aggressive in embracing that. When they had their adjournment, but not closing the legislature, when they adjourned, took a break, whatever the correct term is.
They have not agreed yet on their adjournment resolution.
That's right. They left the credits hanging as well as they left the movie credits hanging, which are equally critical to Wilmington and I think equally critical to North Carolina. There's been a debate about movie credits, but they're important to North Carolina. But the preservation credit is absolutely critical to North Carolina. It has been utilized, and I think the statistic is approximately 88 to 90 of our 100 counties, there have been tax credit projects. That is a broad-based economic strategy for the state. And the return on that to the state of North Carolina is $1.7 billion annually, with jobs being created, tax values going up. So I think it's a critical strategy that we can use to our advantage, and I hope that the legislature sees the wisdom of including that.
We're talking about, excuse me one moment, developing downtown Wilmington. What's working? What's missing? How do you envision the area's downtown? Give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@hqr.org. You can also tweet us using coastlinehqr at Wolverton.
Well, just picking up on what George was saying in terms of our historic preservation tax credits, we have to remember a couple things. First, that there is also a national tax credit that's available on a national level. So we do have that as an opportunity still to help aid development. But the state incentive on top of that layered together really made it a very powerful tool. But the whole point from a public policy perspective is that we were dealing with a situation where a lot of older historic buildings were abandoned. They were disinvested. People were not using them. They didn't want to go there, especially back in the 70s, the whole notion of this urban blight. We want to get away from our cities. We got to move everything out to the suburbs. We want to get rid of our farmlands and turn them into shopping malls or to strip shopping centers. And so the whole point of these preservation tax credits was to try to level the economic playing field and to serve as an inducement for that investment to come back into your urban areas to save that historic architecture that's so important to the identity and the fabric of our community. But also, it's more expensive to renovate a historic home than it is to slap a new home together out in the middle of what had been a turf farm. So there's an economic disincentive, and then people will say, well, wait a minute, that's not true because we're not getting any subsidies out in our new greenfield development. That's the term they often use. Well, the argument is that, well, someone built the road that goes to that greenfield development, and that's probably us as the taxpayer. That is, in fact, a subsidy that we are providing to nurture and grow that development. And by the way, if we're running water lines, sewer lines, electrical lines, that is too. And if we're having to build a new police station, new fire station, that is another subsidy that happens for these exurban type of development. So it makes sense to have the sound policy that spurs this investment back into downtown.
Do we know how many other states have historic preservation tax credits?
Right now in the nation, it's over 40 states have a strong tax credit program.
Over 40. So if we lost this one, then George Edwards with Historic Wilmington Foundation, we would be in the minority.
We would clearly be in the minority. We might be the first state in the country to drop a viable tax credit program. Now, I do want to go back. I mean, I've been asked by the media over the last few months as this debate has raged around the state, is this the end of preservation? And Ed made a good point a moment ago in saying we have a federal tax credit. Absolutely, we have a federal tax credit, which far, far predates the state tax credits. So no, we're not going out of business. And we were creative before there were state tax credits. We will be creative after there are state tax credits. The federal credit, hopefully, thankfully, seems to be safe, and it's always been a great incentive, and there are a few other incentives. But Ed's very correct in saying that the layering of that credit suddenly turned marginal properties that probably today would be gone into viable properties. And that's what's important. And yes, absolutely, the suburbs have been incentivized from the very beginning. Everything from schools to roads to everything else, it allows a landfall to be developed, it allows a Mayfair to be developed. was put in at taxpayer expense, and that's a subsidy. If you recycle old buildings, you're recycling infrastructure that has long ago been paid for and long ago been amortized, and it makes great sense to make that area far more productive, which is what downtown revitalization and neighborhood revitalization does.
So if the tax credits do go away, there's the federal tax credit. What are some of the other options for keeping historic preservation alive in downtown Wilmington?
Well, I think the efforts that we will make in terms of education to developers and to homeowners would certainly keep tax preservation alive, pushing for strong historic districts, whether they are national register districts, then layered with a local district or simply a national register district. By the way, Wilmington is set to get its 8th national register district by the end of the year.
By the end of this year. Okay.
Brookwood.
And what is a national register district?
Well, a national register district is a section of land, a section of homes, buildings that have been surveyed and determined to have architectural and historic significance. And then that is thoroughly documented and presented to a public hearing locally to get approval, then sent off to the State Historic Preservation Office for review and approval, and ultimately sent to the federal government, the National Park Service, where an actual person called the keeper of the register ultimately places that section of buildings, that collection of buildings on the federal register, recognizing their significance culturally, historically, and architecturally.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about developing downtown Wilmington, what's working, what's missing, and how do you envision the areas downtown? Tell us what you think, 910-343-1138. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us using CoastlineHQR. Ed Wolverton, George Edwards, we're also looking down the barrel of losing film incentives. What will that mean specifically for the downtown Wilmington area?
That'll be a very tough blow for us to shoulder.
Why?
Film is a big part of our everyday lives, and they support our businesses that are down here, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a retail clothing shop, whether it's a catering company, whether it's even our nightlife. All of those things benefit from the film industry being part of our daily lives. A lot of the film crews choose to live within the downtown area. They like the urban feel, the funkiness that they get downtown. It's a great vibe. We have a broad spectrum of jobs, and we are actually oftentimes a film set for productions as they're occurring. I had a conversation with a local real estate broker recently who had a building that was being used by a show that was in production in the 1990s. And I had talked to him about, well, you know, how come we can't lease this space? It's a ground floor location. He said, oh, well, that was the set for this show. And they never needed to do anything. They were getting their income and it was being used. It wasn't really in a public way, but it was in a way that was still being and creating economic benefits for the property owners. And so now with that production gone, not necessarily because of these credits, right now, as they left a couple years ago. But the point is that it provided an income stream for properties that was very helpful for the overall downtown economy. And we're certainly an epicenter of that. But they film everywhere in the region. I mean, Southport has productions, and they just, the film industry folks like the setting that downtown provides.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about developing downtown Wilmington. What's working? What's missing? How do you envision the areas downtown? 343-1138 is the number to call if you'd like to make a comment or send an email to coastline@whqr. And we have a call. John, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Hello? And he seems to not be there. All right. Sorry about that. Maybe you can give us a call back. John, we actually have an email from Susan. She continues the thread. We were talking earlier about aging in place, about seniors coming to the downtown area, making it walkable, having amenities that seniors can easily access. And Susan says she heads up Aging in Place Downtown, a nonprofit whose goal is to enable seniors to remain in their homes throughout their lives, regardless of health, wealth, or age. Aging in Place is a work in progress and is focused on the section of Wilmington that is the most diverse in the city. Seniors represent around 20% of the 31,000 residents of the area. They tend to be anchors of their neighborhoods and contribute to the economics and vibrancy of downtown in very significant ways. A summit on aging in place held last year indicated the highest priority was useful transportation for those who do not or can no longer drive, since there are no supermarkets, drugstores, or other necessities downtown. Transportation is the key. Ed Wolverton, is mass transit or the limitations that we have right now on mass transit a factor in the development of downtown?
It's an important factor, but it's not the, excuse the pun, driving factor. When you talk about walkability, downtown is by far the most walkable place in our community. Have you ever seen anyone try to cross College Road, you know, walking from one shopping center to the next? I mean, that you talk about unwalkable. That is the pure definition of it. But can we do more? Yes, absolutely. We do have a special free shuttle system that serves the downtown area. It's a limited route, but it is in partnership with WAVE. The bus system itself does pulse into downtown on a routine basis. I think all the routes definitely come through the downtown at one point. So there is that kind of connectivity that downtown has that other places don't. Could it be better? Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be really interesting to see with the advent of the Uber cars, for instance, whether that starts making impact into the way people get around. Bike trails is also very important to us. We're trying to improve the bike access as another avenue to getting people around. So all of those things come into play.
And we have Ronald. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, thanks.
I own two historic homes in downtown Wilmington, and I'm wondering whether there's going to be a program or an initiative to allow homeowners to make energy-efficient changes to their properties, i.e. putting in solar installations or replacing windows, which in some instances are 150 years old.
That's an excellent question. Ed Wolverton or George Edwards, like you were actually leaning forward.
Well, the installation of solar systems into historic houses, and if you're talking about in compliance with the local design review or for tax credits, is already allowed. As long as it's a low-profile solar, ideally off of the main thoroughfare or the main front of the building. So there's already a provision for that, and it's already happening. For efficiency with the windows, I think that there's always been an assumption that windows were the key culprit for energy efficiency in the house, and there's no study to validate that. A historic old window, a wood window, well-maintained, is very efficient, and its efficiency can be greatly enhanced with the installation of a storm window. And then you combine that storm window with solar, with high-efficiency heating and air conditioning systems. And we say insulation, but that's you insulate everything. You insulate below and above. You look at your crawl spaces, all of your infrastructure in the ductwork, and you insulate that. And you can achieve, I believe, and this has been demonstrated time and again, high efficiency. There are several contractors in town who specialize in analysis of old houses and then strategizing with the owner to make them even more efficient. So, yes, we can address that, and you can get a credit for it, which is wonderful.
Well, all right. Very fun. Thank you for having me on the air.
Thanks for your call, Ronald. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We have some callers on the line, and John has called us back, I see. So we'll look forward to taking his call after the break. George Edwards, Executive Director of Historic Wilmington Foundation, thanks so much for joining us. Coming up in just a moment, we'll look at the economic challenges and opportunities available to private investors and entrepreneurs. Harper Peterson, local business owner and former mayor of Wilmington, will join us for that. How do you think Wilmington needs to develop? What is it about the downtown area that keeps you coming back? What's missing? What does your ideal downtown Wilmington area look like? Call us at 343-1138, send emails to coastline@whqr.org, or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. This is Coastline.